Thank you for that, ladies. And again, thank you for being here. I know we're a little bit later because of the introduction there, so I'll talk a little bit fast today. And you listen fast, and we should be out before 1 o'clock. I think we can make that, so I'm just kidding. Trust me on that. By the way, I did want to introduce over here in the deaf department, we have Joseph and Chris right here. These gentlemen are visiting. They're from a ministry called Romans Road, and they go around the country to different deaf expos. They get a booth, and they just share the gospel to people there all around the country. Good men. And so if we can give them a deaf applause, thank you, for being here. Salvation is the greatest and most wonderful gift a person can ever receive. Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians just tells us we are saved through faith, by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And so this gift that God gives us is because of his grace. And when we think of that, what is that gift? When we're talking about eternal life. You know, we talk about you have to be born twice. And so when we're born when we're born the first time, we have physical life. When we're born again at salvation, we now have eternal life. But salvation, or when we are born again and we get eternal life, it is a lot like physical life in a sense. It is the starting point of life. When we're born, we now have started living and we're going to go forward from there. Well, the same is true as a Christian when we become a Christian. When we get saved, that is a starting point. And by that, I mean that that's just the beginning and we are to make a progression and go forward. This chapter deals with Paul's defense before Agrippa. Now, this was Agrippa II. It was not the Agrippa that was the king during the times of the birth of Christ. This is the second one. And so what had happened is, after Paul became a Christian, he started preaching about Christ and getting involved in sharing the gospel and serving the Lord. And the Jews did not like that. And so they were constantly hounding him and after him. And they tried to get the Roman government to also take him out. Like, hey, he's doing things like, well, he's not breaking any laws. And so there was this constant battle going back and forth between the law and the Jews. And Paul's kind of the middleman. Finally, Paul has had enough of it. And he was a Roman citizen, so as his right was, instead of going all this haggling, he appealed to Caesar, which means they would have to make sure he gets to Caesar, and he would make his case before Caesar that he is not lawless. This is a religious thing. But what Paul would do, if you read through the book of Acts, he was interviewed several times by governmental leaders, and he would always say, like, all right, you know, they would, as they're going down the line, what is this all about? What's going on here? And Paul had a habit of always using it as an opportunity to share the gospel to these men. He would give his life story. And so that is what is happening here. If you look back at verse 13, he's starting to tell Agrippa. Now, Paul would always talk about several things. He would talk about what his life was like before he was a Christian. You know, he was religious. He was a Jew. He was a leader in the Jewish religion. He was very zealous. And by the way, Paul was. And then he would talk about the time that he met Christ. Look at verse 13. He was on the road to Damascus to go down there to persecute Christians. And he says at midday, verse 13, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven about the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. This group is with them, this light. And when we were all fallen to the earth, so they all see the light in the group, they fall to the ground. But Paul, or Saul here, because his name's changed later, so if I call him Paul, you know what I mean. Saul, Saul, he hears a voice speaking unto him in the Hebrew tongue saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? He goes, why are you persecuting me? Paul was, or Saul at that time, was persecuting the Christians, but Jesus is like, no, 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 you're persecuting me. What's going on here? And then he said in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And this whole story, this whole testimony takes place in chapter 9 of Acts. But he gave his testimony always. But in this text, he also, as he did, I believe, in he may have given, I believe it's in Acts chapter 20, he also gives what God told him to do afterwards. Because salvation is not the end. Paul is the greatest Christian in the New Testament, I believe. Now, you don't need to necessarily rank them, but Paul was greatly used in the New Testament. But before Christ, he was a wreck. He had position, he was religious, he persecuted Christians, but it wasn't until he met Christ that everything changed. And now he was serving the very Lord that he sought to fight against. And I will say this, it's not the message. When people are antagonistic towards Christians, really they're antagonistic towards Christianity. That's why they're not our enemies. Sometimes people want to argue with us about what we believe, and some of us want to go into, you know, lawyer or debate mode. That doesn't help anybody. We're to love them and share the truth. But that's why that happens. But the greatest thing I think we can learn from Paul's life is what happened to him and what he did after he was saved. It's a guidepost. As we look at this chapter, there's a guidepost, there's a roadmap to guide us along the journey. And so here's the question I want to answer for us today. Now what? See, if you're saved, that's not the end game. If you know Christ, it's like, okay, I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven. That's not the end game. He has something now greater for us going forward. That's why you say it seems unusual, right? This is where he meets Christ on the Damascus Road, and immediately he tells him, now, here's what I want you to do. It's like he's a new convert. Now, he did have some training in the Old Testament. And he did know it, he just missed one major thing about it. The Messiah that it was talking about. And so when he got saved, he was able to connect those dots and like, aha, that's the Messiah. But he did have to go through some training. He had to go through some growth process, as do we. And so what's important is, and what I want to answer very simply this morning is, what's next if I'm saved? I'm going to give it to you this morning. Let me give you a few things, and I'm not going to tell you how many. Then you're going to start doing the mental math, and we're going to be here till noon. It'll be quick. The first thing he tells him, and it's a picture, by the way, so give me a little license here. The first thing he says is this, get up. Get up. Look at verse 16. That's the verse we're going to look at. He says, but rise. You see, what did Paul do when they saw the light? He did what any of us would have done. Like, something miraculous has happened, and he got to the ground. And the first thing he's told after salvation is, get up. Now, I understand this is a physical thing, but can I picture it here for a minute? Isn't that what God wants for us when we get saved? He wants us to get up. What does that mean? Get up from wherever you are in your life that's not going well, wherever you are when it comes to sin, get up from it. Don't stay down where you're at. I didn't get that. I got saved, and it took me 2 years to get to that point. I still did my own thing, and I went my own way, and I'm not blaming anybody. I knew where church was. I got saved there. I could have went back. I knew I was saved, though, and God was convicting me the whole time. And you know what he was convicting me for? Stop doing what you're doing and get up. I got something better for you. You know what happens to far too many of us? We get saved, and we keep that old life that has nothing for us. We just stay where we're at, and the devil, or our society, or whatever it is, has told us you can't do anything else. That is a lie. Oh, yeah. Get up. Well, Pastor, this is just how my life has to be. Who says that? Yeah, well, Pastor, you don't know the things I've done in your past. I don't need to know the things you did in your past. Get up. Yeah, don't be held down by that nonsense. Amen. By the way, Paul could have. You imagine, he had to go face Christians now. Now, they weren't dumb, right? The first group they brought him to, they're like, hey, I know this guy. This is the guy that kills Christians. He's here to figure out where we're at. And I know this for sure. I can imply it. I guarantee you, along the course of his life, he had to meet somebody whose relative he persecuted. It had to have happened. He had to have some remorse. He had to have something in his life that says, how can I serve God? I've tortured these people. He caused some people to blaspheme. He did some things that weren't good. But you know what he did? He received forgiveness. Amen. And he said, I can't change the past, but I can sure change the future. Amen. And he got up. Can I ask you this morning, what's holding you down? See, some of us, we need to just get up and start going. I'm sure in a crowd this side, there's some of you, you've been saved and you haven't really made any progress since you've been saved. Let me just encourage you, get up. Amen. Don't just settle for being saved. Amen. Now that sounds almost weird to say, right? Like don't settle for the fact that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. That's a pretty good thing to be settled in. But in this life, that's not a good thing. He wants us to go forward from there. Yeah. Some of us need to get up and get started. Don't look back on your life. Don't let it, look, sometimes people, oh, you know what? This is just the Jesus thing. You'll get through this. I'm sure there are people that thought that about me. My friends looked at me like, okay, I get it. I know what you're like. I know what you've done. You'll be back in a while. Well, it's been, I'm not gonna tell you how many years, and I'm not back. Get up. But maybe some of us got up and we've got back down. Can I just tell you something? Get restarted. Well, you know, Pastor, there was that time I served Jesus and some things happened and maybe I slipped a little here or there. Can I just tell you something? Don't stay there. Because the first thing Satan tries to do is to get us to never get up and go forward. And then what he tries to do if we mess up is to say, well, you tried that. That didn't work. Stay down. In the 1972 Olympics, there was a man named Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan held the record. He was a world record holder in the mile run and also the 1,500 meters. And so he was a heavy favorite. So he was running in the first heat of the 1,500 meters. The top two would go on to the final. Everybody expected him to win. But about a lap in, him and another guy tripped. And they both fell. And they didn't just fell temporarily. I mean, they were just laying there. He got up and he limped a little. By the time him and the other guy got up and kind of dusted themselves off, the other guys were way, 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 way far away. The other guy, I don't even know his name, he got up and walked off the track because they knew it was over. There's no way. Ryan dusted himself off. The first few yards he was running, he was limping a little bit. He kind of warmed up, and he kept going. Say, Pastor, did he win? No, not even close. But he finished. He didn't let it stop him. Look, don't let Satan push that in your face. Get up. Secondly, once we get up, he wants us to stand up. He goes, rise and stand upon your feet. See, once you get up, you need to commit and become stable so that you stay up. Right? You know, you've all had children, you know, they crawl around. By the way, the best stage is when they can't move. Oh, I want my child to move. No, you don't. Then they get into everything. You know, every parent's, I can't wait till little Jude. And it's like, stay out of that. Come on, how many know I'm talking about? Yep. Sometimes my wife, she puts, the grandkids are over, and she puts the one little kid, Asher, she put him in our room. He gets into everything. I'm like, don't put him up here. He gets into my drawer, gets all my stuff out. Well, the other day, I came home a little early. I walked in the room, and there he is laying on our bed, wide awake. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? And I went over there to give him a hug, and I looked. He had all my stuff in the bed with him. And I'm like, brother. We had a little talk there, and I think we fixed the situation. But he gives that smile like, you could smile, but there's horns in that thing, all right? Come on now. But that's just what they do. But what they do is they start to move, and they get to the point to where they can kind of stand, and they take a step, and then they fall. They're not stable for a while. But God doesn't want us just to get up. He wants to get us to get up to the point where we are stable. Stand firm on our ground. That's what Ephesians tells us when we put on the armor of God. Let me read a couple verses from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It doesn't knock you off. It doesn't get you off your point. You're right where you should be. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. God wants us to stand. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to say, this is what's good. This is what's right. This is where I should be. I'm up now. This is where I'm going to stay. Stand. Are you stable in your Christianity? Say, Pastor, I'm new. I have gotten up, but I'm a little bit wobbly. That's okay. Keep going. You'll get there. But let's not back off. People get going. They start to stand, and things come their way, and they get all off center, and then they're no longer standing. Let's stand. Let's not be pushed off our points. Stand up. How do we stand? Well, because we have a strong foundation of our Savior. For no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. We have the foundation of the Scriptures. He gave us a story of the two that built a foundation. One built a foundation on the sand. The other built a foundation on the rock. What is the rock? Listening to God's word and doing what it says. What is the sand? I heard it, but I reject it. I'm not building my life on that. You want to stand? Stand on God's word. Make sure that that's a part of your life. The more committed you are to the Scriptures, the more solid your stand will be. Get up. Stand up. Listen up. Look at verse 13, 16 again. This is Jesus talking. He says, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now he's going to tell them what the purpose is. You better listen. He says, okay, now here it is. I'm going to tell you what the purpose I have for your life. You're a Christian now. You're no longer on the other side. You're no longer going to be a persecutor of the faith. I've got something for you to do. I have a purpose, and we'll get to it in a minute, but he has to listen up. He has to hear what God is going to tell him. God speaks to us as well, and he speaks to us through this book right here. You say, well, Pastor, I want a dream. No, you don't. If you want to dream, eat something right before you go to bed. Well, I want God to speak to you. Open up the Bible. No. I want to hear God's word audibly. And I've said this before. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. No. Jesus came to my room. That wasn't Jesus. That's not how it works. It's funny. Well, if God came and spoke to me, I'd listen. He has. What did the guy in hell say? Hey, send one of the prophets to talk to my brothers so they don't come to hell. And Jesus said, they have the prophets, they have the scripture. If they don't listen to them, they ain't going to listen to someone coming back from the dead. Yeah. Come on now. That's what we want. By the way, no, Pastor, I heard this guy on television, and he said God told him this. That's a lie. Yep. Unless he can prove it from scripture. Yep. Come on now. By the way, they're always saying, God told you to send me money. Don't you think I'd want to use that? God said we need to get the building remodeled. Give me $100,000. That's not how it works. God speaks through his word, but we have to be willing to listen. Our problem isn't a lack of God speaking to us. Our problem is a lack of listening to what God is saying. That's always our problem. Say, and by the way, it's all related to his purpose as well, because if God says something, that's what he wants us to do. So if we have a lack of spiritual purpose in our life, it's because we have a lack of God's word in our life. Next, very simple, grow up. He says in verse 16, I've appeared to thee this purpose. Make is a process. Making takes a while. Amen. I'm going to make a cake. Boom, here it is. It doesn't work that way. There's a process. And so God wants to take us once we get up, once we stand up, once we start listening. God says, now I'm going to work on you. This process is going to start, and I'm going to make you something. Amen. Are you allowing God to make you something? The Bible talks about all kinds of things that he wants us to be made into. He wants us to be made fishers of men. That's Mark chapter 1. We know that verse. What does that mean? We share the gospel with others. And he goes, I will make you to become fishers of men. It's a process. You may not know much about Christ. You may not be able to explain very simply to somebody what it means to be a Christian, but I'll make that happen in your life. He wants to make us disciples. He tells us, and by the way, that's a deeper step. Tells us, you know, bear our cross, come after me. He wants us to have freedom of life, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make, and it also says make us free. Process. Don't get discouraged in the process. The process is growth. Next, he says, suit up. To make thee, and he talks about some specific, a minister. What's a minister? Servant? Well, and by the way, I'm not nitpicking here, but like, oh, reverend. I'm not a reverend. Reverend is something reserved for God. I'm not a reverend. Don't revere me. Revere Christ. Well, call me pastor. I prefer pastor. It's more of a not just a job title. It's actually an action. Or minister. Minister means servant. Guess what? We're all ministers. God wants all of us to serve him. God wants all of us to do something. In a spiritual sense, what do I mean suit up? Get off the couch and get in the game.
Amen?
Amen? Yep. I mean, it's funny. How many of you guys like to watch any type of sporting event? Right? Yeah, you know. You guys have watched, we've had Bible study every now and then at my house during one of the UFC fights. And I don't, you guys have probably heard me. I see the guys are fighting. I'm like, why does that guy keep backing up? I'd say that, right? The dude that keeps backing up, like, he ain't gonna win. It's like, but I'm not in the ring. Okay. That guy's in the ring, not me. We sit on the couch like, that guy can't throw a football. And then you go out and throw it, and it's like, my daughter can do better. It's funny how much better that we are, who aren't in the game, than those who are actually in the game. We're not suiting up. You know what God wants us to do? Get in the game. Amen. Do something for somebody else. Now, let me say this, and I'm hurrying. When we get to this point, the next couple points, this is next level Christianity. See, the first level Christianity is God works in our life. We get up. God starts working on us. Now we can stand our ground. And we're growing in our faith and all those things there that I mentioned. Now we're getting to next level where it's not about me, it's about others. Amen. And by the way, I'm not talking about the building program, and we'll get into it, but this has a lot to do with it. This is what we want to happen in people's lives. This is what we want to happen in my life and in your life. We've got to help this world. If we know Christ and Christ has done some measure of work in our life, how can we not want to make a difference? Oh, we can sit back and we can get on our social media and gripe about everything that's going on. And the fact of the matter is, I like to gripe, and I'm not going to get on social media and do that. I gripe in my heart. Why does that have to happen? What is all this nonsense? But the fact of the matter is, what are we doing to make this world not a better place, a more spiritual place? Because that's what's going to make it a better place. Who are we helping? So when we get to that next level, we're past the level that's about me and what Christianity is doing my life and how Christianity is changing my life. We're now getting to the second level where it's about others and what can I do to help them find true Christianity so that God can work and change their life. That's it. I said in last Sunday night's message that the only limitation our church has to how much we can impact our community in helping others is how many people are willing to roll up their sleeves, suit up, and get in the game.
Amen. Amen.
That's all that limits us. Amen. What limits the amount of homes we could open? Well, we have a lot of people that are coming and said, I'll do it. Yeah. Pastor said it in his little clip that Mrs. Esposito sent me, I referenced about the homes over 10 years ago. He said, you know how we start new ministries here? We pray about it. God gives us a vision. And then God shows us the person that says, that person's going to go get you help get you get that started. That person, well, that's getting real quiet in here now. That's probably why it's next level Christianity. Has God done something in your life? Then why don't you go help others? I had that 6-month stretch when I first was in church and I was growing and I was just immersed in everything. And after 6 months, it was like, go do something. Now, I'm a little bit off center, so I'm like, okay, I'll jump in. So I did. I got on a bus route. I got in a Sunday school class. I started going to the rest home where they made a huge mistake and they let me preach. And I told everybody there, you're gonna die. And it's like, they're like, I know, the Grim Reaper's in my room. I'm like, a 17-year-old kid but not a brain in my head. Started helping set up for the Christian school. They had a bookstore ministry that they couldn't get the stuff done, so I'm like, I'll take care of it. Give me a key to the place. I just jumped in. Now I wasn't, you know, get involved. Then he says, speak up. He's going to make us a minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen. That's next level. Now it's not about you, it's about you telling others. How is this world going to go about Jesus Christ if no one tells them? Oh, you know, pastor, they'll just have a dream. I had a dream and Jesus came to me. Okay, that was good. It happened to Paul, but Paul was witnessed to by the lives of, like, I don't know, Stephen and others. And Paul had something to work with. And he had the scriptures, he just didn't connect the dots. But you know how the word of God and the gospel gets out? Person to person to person. And you know what we try to do in our society, and what our society tries to do is to shut us up. You talk about Christ. That's not inclusive. Like, we're not here to argue. We're just here to tell you about Jesus. The people that know you, do they know that you know Christ? A witness is one who testifies of what he has heard, what he has seen, what he knows, and what he's experienced. And can I just tell you something? Boy, if you've done all of that for salvation, you're going to want to tell somebody else. You do something, you get involved with Christ and you see how wonderful it is. How can you not tell somebody else? We often whine about criminals that go unprosecuted. You know what one of the top reasons, other than our district attorney, you know one of the top reasons why they do? It's because witnesses don't want to step forward. Yeah. They're afraid. And I'm not hammering them, because some of them live in places where they could pay the price.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? Spiritually, we don't have that opportunity.
Yep.
God wants us to step up.
Amen.
He wants us to be a witness. Amen. And then lastly, told you I could go fast. Follow up. Here we go. Verse 16. And of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. You see, as Paul went on in his faith, he said, look, you're going to do these things. You're going to be a witness. You're going to be a servant. But as you go on, I'm going to tell you some other things. I'm going to show you some other very specific things, and I want you to do those things. But that was future. But let me just tell you this. If Paul did not follow up and keep going, he would have never got to that point.
Right.
You know what happens? Too many people tap out on Christianity.
Amen.
At one point, they were doing these things, and then it's something, and they stopped.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, how's the best way to measure my Christianity? Decades.
Yeah.
Decades. Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Where are you going to be 20 years from now? Where are you going to be 30 years from now?
Amen.
See, Paul said, Paul, when he gets in, he goes, I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. You know what he said is, I did it. He saw the end coming. And it was just down the road, and it came quickly. And Paul said, but I can look back at my life and say, you know what? I finished. I wasn't always perfect, and neither will you be, and neither will I be. It doesn't mean the road was always smooth. Doesn't mean it was always bumpy. Didn't mean that sometimes I may have started to deviate. He said, I got there.
Amen.
I followed on.
Amen.
Let me ask you, where are you going to be spiritually 5 years down the road?
Amen.
10 years down the road. You know what the shame is? The shame is statistics tell us that the average church member lasts 7 years. We're always bumping around. Why? Fact of the matter is, and I'm not, this is to be negative, when most people leave our church, they don't, if they do, the ones that, they don't go to another church.
Yep.
It's like, hey, it's about Christ.
Amen.
Let's be faithful.
Amen.
Let's say, hey, Jesus, I think this was last year's theme, I'm all in.
Yep.
Let's backtrack. It is 100% Sunday. Jesus, I'm 100% in for 100% of my life.
Amen.
That's what he wants. So let me ask you this, and I'm done. Take inventory of your salvation. God wants Christians that are going to stick with it. We, you know, we don't need these roller coaster Christians. God doesn't need quick start Christians. Tortoise in the hare, right? Man, the rabbit took off and he took a nap. And what happened? He napped so often that the turtle beat him. We don't need retirement life Christians. Well, I'm older now, you know, I've been serving Jesus for 10 years. Let me backtrack a little bit. You know what we want? We want finish line Christians. There's the target. I'm on my way. We want consistent speed Christians. You don't have to, I know, and by the way, everybody's, some people come in, they just jump in. It's like, wham! Okay. You know what I'd want? Someone that's just consistently making progress. I'll take it. You look back at your life this year and like, wow, I made progress. And by the way, if you are a new Christian, I will say this. Don't get discouraged. You start making progress and some little thing comes. You didn't react right in a situation. It's like, man. And you look at the mistake instead of looking back like, wait a minute, I'm still down the road. Let's just keep going. That's what God wants, consistent speed Christians. And God wants solid rock Christians, always faithful, always counted on. Let's go. So let me ask you this. Is salvation, was that the end game for you? Or are you making are you going somewhere? And maybe you need to make a step in one of these places. Let's bow our head and close our eyes if we may for a minute. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just ask you a question. Have you got up? Have you got up? Are you just saved and that's it? Maybe you got up. Are you standing up? Are you starting to become solid in your faith? Are you listening up? Do you want to know what God is saying? Do you want to grow in your faith and find what God wants? Are you growing up? Are you maturing in the faith? Are you suiting up? Are you getting involved? Are you speaking up? Are you sharing your life about Christ? And I'll say this, are you 100% committed to following up? That's what God wants. Before we stand, let me ask you one more question. Some of you, there may be a handful, there may not be any, but maybe you're here this morning and you can't do any of these because you haven't met Christ like Paul did on the Damascus Road. You're not a Christian yet. You're not saved. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's the question. Are you 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? See, it's like, yes, Pastor, I know I'm going to heaven, and I could give you a scriptural reason. I know exactly why. I'm not guessing about it. But maybe you're here and you say, I don't know for sure. I hope so. But you can know for sure. Paul thought he was on his way because of his religious duty, but he wasn't until he met Christ. So let me ask it one more time with nobody looking around. Are you 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? You say, Pastor, I do not know. That's me. I'm not sure. Pastor, would you pray for me with nobody looking around? If you put your hand up real quick, I will. Anybody like that? Raise your hand real quick. Anybody at all? Okay, up here. Let's stand together if we may. How are you doing in your Christian life if you know Christ? If God spoke to you about anything in the message, why don't you come? Why don't you come?